on a bed. Fill your cup and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It is Championship Wednesday. Wake up with us. It is March 6th. It is 7:02 a.m. It's raining, but that has not dampened our mood. John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard. Good morning, boys. Bob, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. We got that little tease with the weather for a couple of days. Now we're feeling the pain for the rain, but you're right, it'll come and go. And there's a lot of other good stuff happening. I'm good. I am good. You survived Crashageddon on the interstate coming in, right?
Yeah, we'll say, not to step on Commander Chuck and his traffic reports, but if you're heading west, starting around Farragut, I mean, it started right when I got on the interstate off of the 373 exit. It was backed up. There was a wreck. They got to fix that one spot in Farragut on the interstate. It gets flooded, and every time it rains, it causes traffic. And I think today it caused a wreck. They eventually put a truck there to kind of move people over the lane, but you could see the standing water there. I don't know how they fix it. I'm not an engineer. I don't think they really make the wall taller. That doesn't do anything. I don't know if they can put a drain system there. I don't know if they can level out the road at all. I don't know how to fix it. It's above my pay grade. But it seems like every time it rains, and I don't know if it poured all through the night. I don't even know how much it rained.
I think it was raining all throughout the night.
Was it? Okay. It wasn't where I was at, or at least that I noticed when I went to bed and took my dog out and such. But It caused a wreck first thing this morning. Then right next to Paper Mill, right when you could see the glow, that beautiful glow, that warming, welcoming glow of Waffle House's sign, around that part you ran into another wreck, both multi-car wrecks. Again, not to step on Commander Chuck. Maybe he'll have that in his update, but let Commander John let you know beforehand to prepare for a minimal delay. But I left early. I was like, all right, feeling good. I got on the interstate at 6:30. It was plenty of time. I was going to roll in there about 6:45, 6:48 or so. And then I see it stopped. I was like, uh-oh. Text the boys. I was like, uh-oh. But we made it. It's only a slight delay.
Heavy traffic on.
I was going to say, you got to add those silky tones, yeah. Man. He brings it.
Yeah. Be prepared to switch lanes. On at 374, you got to get in the right lane. At 383, you got to get back in the left lane. It's all shut down. Sam, top of the morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Started watching a little bit of March Madness yesterday. Got the juices flowing.
I saw you tweeting about that.
The A-Sun was delivering.
It annoyed me.
The A-Sun was delivering.
I found myself to be very annoyed by that.
Why? You're going to watch the 20-point demolishing of Alabama over some guys that are fighting for their lives in March Madness?
I was actually watching Jalen Johnson and the Hawks. That's what I was doing.
That would bore me.
It was a good game for Jalen Johnson last night. And I kept an eye on Florida. And I was, you know, the baseball game, I was all over the place. I did not have time to pull out the A-Sun. I understand the drama that tournament basketball brings. I get it. I'll see the highlights. Whenever somebody makes a cool shot, I'll see it.
It's the buildup of the highlights.
I hear you. I just don't have time. I don't have the bandwidth to add that in. It doesn't move the needle for me, especially like in a wooden bid league where it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but it's like, for example, Eastern Kentucky, the one seed goes down to Jacksonville. Like, that's probably the runaway favorite to go make March, you know, go make March Madness and go make a run out of the A-Sun. Now you've got the 10 seed who had absolutely no chance of, you know, making a run to March, and now they've made some little Cinderella run before you can even make a Cinderella run in the big dance.
Well, it doesn't affect anybody in the tournament. because it's one spot. It's one spot.
You got to think about these guys, John.
I feel when I hear that, I feel bad for the team that was the best the entire regular season. That's what I feel bad about.
No.
What's the point? I would be like, what is the point of the conference regular season?
That's the beauty of March, is getting the team that doesn't deserve to be in there just on a sick run at the end.
You call it beauty. I call it cheap.
Nah.
I call it cheap thrills.
Nah.
I call that the three month conference schedule we just had meant absolutely nothing, especially in those leagues. Like the leagues where it's, you know, one team's getting in, it's whoever wins the conference championship. What's better? The 3 months before that determined who was the best and we played more games and we got a better sample size of who was better, or just one 40-minute game?
If that team's only going
to – I don't know where the games are at.
No, it's playing it. The ASUN actually does it weird. Like the higher seed gets the home game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so they were on the road.
Yeah, that's tough to lose at your own home with the season on the line. But you call it – madness, you call it, what would you call it, magical?
Yeah.
I call it cheap.
That's not cheap. They're clearly not going to win a game in March Madness, so, like, why not let the Cinderella run get, you know, slip the shoe on a little bit before they get killed in the first round?
Because, again, the best team, that was the best team for over 2 months.
Clearly not the best team.
Yeah, and that's what, hey, man, that's exactly what happens in the big dance, too, yeah. Right?
I don't necessarily love that either, to be honest.
Sounds like you hate March.
Everyone loves it until we get to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of 12 and 13 seeds hanging around. You're like, man, I really wish the top guys were here.
Sounds like you hate March, John.
I thought it would be a little overrated, I will say. Nah, you know, whatever.
If you like it,
it's good. I prefer the NBA model of, like, hey, let's let the best teams play each other. I want to watch, like, you know, the best teams play each other. I'm looking forward to, like, Boston, Denver in the finals. That'd be cool.
That's because their regular season doesn't mean squat.
I love continuity.
I mean, I would say their regular season does a better job of, you know, giving the seeding. We got a better idea of who the best teams are. And usually those best teams make it through the playoffs and play in the finals. So I would say the regular season, you know, not as live and die. But, again, if you're telling me the conference tournament and the ASUN had the 10 seed beat the 1 seed –
John, this sounds like you're the biggest MLB baseball fan of all time. You just love regular season. You might as well watch all 162 games.
You're missing the point there, because I think that postseason's dumb, too.
You just love the regular season.
I think that's a better indicator of who the best teams are, for sure. No, you're missing the point entirely, Sam, if you think I like the baseball season, because, no, it's the opposite. A team can win 100 games over 162 games and be clear-cut better. Now we had two bad games, we're going home. No, I think it's stupid. I think it's ass a 9, ass a 10, ass a 11.
That's the beauty of sport right there.
You must have been a fan of old-school college football then, where the polls just determined who'd be a national champion and two teams would play.
Tell you what, Bob, you know, I can't really speak to that, because the BCS was introduced, you know, in 98 and I was 8 years old, so I don't really remember how they just kind of did it before. I mean, I know they kind of just, hey, here's split national champions, or hey, here's what we think. No, I don't like that. I don't mind it being determined on the field with actual head-to-head games, but I will tell you know, outside of cheapening the product a little bit and bringing in some more people to the table, I think it's kind of dumb that you know, we're going to have a 14-team playoff. I think it's dumb we have four teams in the tournament, because you usually have, because of the regular season, a pretty good idea of who your best teams are.
So then back to basketball, then for sure you have to be – we talked about this with Jerry Palm the other day. We know how he feels. You have to be against tournament expansion then.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to shrink it. Give me 32 teams instead. Now that we're not a bubble program, give me 32 teams. Well, let's skip some of the upsets. Let's skip some of these teams. Although basketball and football, of course, completely different sports. Basketball, you can have the team mentality, and you know, a team can be good and be overlooked. I don't think this is what happened in your ASUN tournament, Sam. I don't think it's a case of an underseeded 10 seed that was actually really good and just overlooked because they're in a small conference making a run. I don't think that's what that was.
No, they sucked.
Well, right. That's my point. Like, Loyola, you know,
they were 5-11 in conference. That's beautiful.
Despite it coming at our expense, like, you could say, like, Loyola Chicago when they beat us. They were a pretty good basketball team.
Yeah.
They were just kind of underseeded because, hey, they're at a small conference. Like, I have no problem with those teams getting a chance because those teams are actually good. Now, would I still rather have Tennessee won? Would I still rather the Elite Eight been Tennessee versus Kentucky? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Even if you removed Tennessee, would I rather have been Duke versus Kentucky? Yeah, I would.
I love chalk, too.
I loved that finish last night, Sam. I will say that.
Thank
I
you.
Saw it. The other thing I saw, though, that gave me a bad flashback last night as I went to bed was I think it might have been after the Kansas State game. They switched over to Nevada Boise State, I think. I think it was on the same channel. And they were showing Nevada's top player, Jared Lucas. Does that name ring a bell? Sam's nodding his head, yes.
Jared Lucas doesn't ring a bell to me. John Lucas rings a bell.
Jared Lucas was one of the stars on that Oregon State team that rolled Tennessee back in, God, was that 21? Yeah, it was 21, right? It was the kind of bubble tournament year.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize he was still playing. I just turned the TV off. I was like, God, that dude. I mean, he was one of a few that just they couldn't miss. And that just one of what that maybe that game was a worse memory for me than FAU last year.
Oh, why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because that team ended up going to the Elite Eight. And the next season, they won three games. They were not good. They just got on it. It kind of spoke a little to what you were just saying. They got on a heater that year. They won the Pac-12 tournament, and then they got hot in the NCAA tournament. They really were mediocre all season long. So, actually, it'd be one of those teams you would not be a fan of, even if they weren't playing Tennessee.
Yeah, no, the Oregon State I wasn't a fan of. I was looking for from it more from the Tennessee perspective. I was over the team that beat that got beat by Oregon State. I was over that team. That team was maddening
yeah.
to watch. Like that one was kind of just a blip on the radar. Like was I disappointed when we lost or was I heartbroken? No. Like last year when we lost to FAU, I was very upset. And like that was a game that I thought you should have won and you could have gone on and went to the Final Four and maybe competed for a national championship if you got over FAU with the way it's set up. But the Oregon State loss was just kind of like, okay, well, wow, Rick Barnes kind of needs to figure this out, huh?
Yeah, maybe to restate it. Yeah, what I was getting at was the loved last year's team much more than the 21 team. The FAU game was a heartbreaker. The Oregon State game felt more like an embarrassment.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Fully. And they punked you, too. I mean, they blew you out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of, if not.
Yeah.
I don't know where Rick Barnes is, where the list is for his worst losses at Tennessee, but that Oregon State game in the top five.
Yeah,
maybe number one. You know, I don't want to go through the list of losses on Championship Wednesday, but yeah, one of the worst. Sam, we could compromise. We could do our conference tournaments like the WCC does. I like the way they do it, where the top two teams get like triple byes. They get put all the way to Saturday. Like, hey, we're all the way in the semifinals. These lower teams got to win three games to even get to us. That tells me that they are prioritizing their best teams and saying the regular season matters. We could do that.
I'd be mad if I were one of the top two seeds. I want some fresh legs. I'd be scared.
Yeah, fresh legs. I just told you got a triple bye.
I'd be scared that the team that's hot, that's coming in, winning three straight games, is already feeling themselves, and I've been on the bench icing my knees for too long.
I think I would take my chance of saying this team is playing its third straight game in 3 days or fourth straight game in 4 days. I'd take my chances there.
Just saying, John, there were like four can't-miss games in the A-Sun last night.
Well, guess what? I missed all four of them. So, apparently...
I'd rather watch that than the play-in Hawks.
Apparently,
like
you can't miss
the 60th game
them.
Of the NBA season.
Yeah, no, I like watching Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
I saw the highlights. Hey, cool. Nice little runner to win after the team had tied it from three with 4 seconds left. Good job.
Played
cool.
at Lipscomb. The yeah. kid who won it played at Lipscomb. Who hit the shot played at Lipscomb. It's
Did
a cool
he really?
Story.
What does that do for me? I didn't go to Lipscomb. I'm not a Lipscomb
He
man.
Beat Lipscomb.
I got to say.
The guy played at North Alabama, and they were playing Lipscomb, and he beat him.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying.
You wouldn't
like
know that through the highlights, though, because you never watched the game.
I don't care. I thought you were telling me, like, because he's like a Tennessee like college, I'm supposed to care. Like, I don't care. But, okay, so he beat his old team.
Lipscomb.
He beat his old team. Okay, fine.
So, now I'm looking, and I did see the finish of that game. That was awesome. But the members of this conference, Jacksonville, Eastern Kentucky, Queens University,
Queens, as in New York?
I think it's in Charlotte.
It's in Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah. Stetson, the Hatters, that's their nickname. North Alabama, Lipscomb. North Florida, who has this, apparent transfer in waiting that Jordan Moore was touting yesterday. Austin Peay, and then I guess Florida Gulf Coast is probably the big name team, but they got beat the night before. That's these conferences, man, I didn't even really know. I knew I've heard of the A-Sun, but there's some teams I've not heard of here.
I'm going to pretend that Queens is from New York.
I kind of pretend that too, normally.
Yeah. And then they just come down and decide to play against North Alabama yeah. and Jacksonville State and all that. That's what I'm referring to.
When I saw
to.
Like the parentheses NC on the Queens thing on, you know, on the gambling app, I was like, that's not fun. That's not fun.
They were the eighth best team in the Atlantic Sun with a record of 14-19. The Queens University Royals.
It's Championship Wednesday, and look what you guys have done to us.
We're watching championships.
I placate you with the dumbass Indiana State team. I placate you, always needing to ask questions about them because I respect you, Bob, and I know that you're alma mater and you care. I placate it. It's fine. I draw the line here at A-Sun basketball on Championship Wednesday. Nope. No more. No mas.
You can placate that in March or April or whatever.
It is March.
I'm sorry, April.
In April, he was not going to want to talk about Indiana State. They're not even going to make the tournament, so like he'll be over it.
Hawks basketball either, John.
Did I come on and talk about it? I wasn't going to talk about it. I understand that.
I'm just saying I don't like NBA talk in March.
We barely do it.
I want to talk about March Madness in March. Sue me.
When March Madness comes, let
this
me
is
know.
March Madness. No, this no. is March Madness.
No, this is March Sadness.
This is March Madness.
This is March
Conference
recruiting.
Tournaments are also March Madness.
This is March recruiting. This is like these guys that are playing in this tournament, like maybe they could get up to MTSU level. Maybe they could transfer to a bigger college.
You're making fun
year.
Of Dalton Connect right now.
You know?
If you were watching Big Sky basketball and you saw Dalton Connect last year and he was dropping 30, you were like, maybe Tennessee wants this guy. But you're just saying he's worthless right now.
I'm not saying he's worthless. I'm saying I didn't watch him at Northern
Colorado.
You're
saying he plays meaningless basketball.
And guess what? No one knew who the hell he was last year. ESPN, who gets paid to know this, had him as the 30th best transfer. Right? 32nd best transfer,
I don't trust
I think.
ESPN's rankings for anything.
Well,
anymore.
I understand, but they're supposed to be watching these dumbass games, and they had him 32nd, so guess what? It didn't really matter. If I watched Dalton Connect last year, I saw a guy that went 12-20. Did you know Dalton Connect was going to be a stud?
When Charlie and I saw Dalton Connect commit to Tennessee, we both went, wow, that's going to be a great player. Yeah.
I don't believe that.
We'll pull the tape on the blitz.
Find the
we
tape.
Will pull the tape
Find
on the blitz.
Tape.
We will pull the
Find
tape
the
on
tape.
The blitz.
You know what just hit me? It was 1 week ago today. We don't argue much, but it was 1 week ago today we argued about Live Golf, which, by the way, you saw it, Sam. They took a little shot to the bow, right? They aren't going to be included. We'll get to that in a minute. But
is that really only a week ago?
It was. It was a week ago. It was last Wednesday because it was right off the heels of.
That can't be true.
It was right off the heels of the match.
That can't be true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right. But yeah, I'm just saying, we just created a new segment for Wednesday mornings.
I'm bad for days mixing too much in my head.
That feels like 2 weeks ago at least, maybe 3 weeks ago.
No. It's just
the match is on a Monday though, right?
Yeah, I feel like it was maybe a Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Well,
a week and a day.
Just go with
but
me.
But no, I'm not worried about that. It's just more so I still think that's 2 or 3 weeks ago, but
no, it's not. But that's what I'm saying. We got a new segment, and this is if you can imagine this is like this is one segment a week. Which is the equivalent of, like, the G.I. Jake show. This is every day. They just throw down. It's kind of fun. Get you going. Get you wound up. And it is championship week for the Vols, so now I'm very wound up. We got a lot to cover.
It's Championship Wednesday.
Yeah.
And here we are talking about the first round of the A-Sun tournament.
It was the quarterfinals.
Is that on the first round?
Yeah. No. They had play-in games in the first
Jacksonville
round.
Jacksonville already had
They had play-in games
before.
To get to the first round, Sam.
No.
You play it to
they,
get
no,
to the
they
first
played
round.
The first round against Kennesaw.
Yeah, they called it first round, the first two games. I just called them play-in games.
They're in the semifinal now.
So we're down in the final four.
Yes.
And how many teams are in this conference? 10?
Yeah, a lot of suspense.
Okay. I'm still
No, they're 12.
Okay. So no, four 10. Teams get a bye.
10. You're right. Yeah.
I'm calling it a play-in then. If it's just two teams, four teams trying to get to the bracket of eight, I'm calling those play-in. Yesterday was the first round. Enough. I told you I wasn't talking about it. We're moving on. Championship Wednesday. Vibes are high. Grant Williams comes on at 9:20. I can't wait to hear you guys ask him about the A-Sun tournament. Let's go to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. Everybody. Championship Wednesday. It got bigger last night as Florida embarrasses Alabama, which opens up an outright SEC championship with a win tonight. Had Alabama won, Tennessee could have still locked up the one seed, but Alabama could have gotten their grubby little paws on a split on Saturday if things went their way. But instead, now the coast is completely clear. Tennessee wins tonight. They win the SEC by at least one game. I don't know if we talked about it on the show or not. And we did our little, you know, spread projection and all those things. But Tennessee opened up as 5.5-point favorites for their trip to Columbia. Too high, too low, just right. Minus 245 on the old money line. So Tennessee, a pretty solid road favorite tonight.
I think it's just right, honestly. I know we've talked about it, and I continue to vacillate between being concerned to, nah, man, we've got this. And I'm on that mode right now. I think they see it now with Alabama having lost. I just think they're very locked in to me. I really believe they're going to come out and take care of business tonight.
Yeah, I feel like this is just, like you said, John, I think they got way too much kind of looking forward to this. And then, you know, coming off of a loss to South Carolina as well, I think that'll absolutely help, knowing that they want to kind of get that revenge game back and go kind of get a lick of – kind of get their licks back, I guess, you know, on the road as well, and kind of give them a taste of their own medicine. So I think we'll comfortably beat them more than 5.5.
Well, thanks to Florida, that locks up a outright solo SEC championship. If Tennessee wins tonight – out South Carolina, they will have accomplished something they have not done since 2008. We are in the midst. We are nearing the climax of the greatest Tennessee basketball season of all time. That's the way it feels. Like you're doing things that you haven't done in a while. You're doing things maybe that you've never done before. When you add in the one seed and hopefully in a Elite Eight and Final Four run, and I'm not stopping there. I think this team can win it all. First big step tonight, though, the first hardware you can win is in Columbia, South Carolina.
A couple of thoughts on this from last night's game between Florida and Alabama. The one thing I couldn't help but think about, and it speaks to what we're just talking about with Tennessee, is – man, Florida's good, and I feel like everybody talks about, you know, with Tennessee from the fan base, you know, put your cup on, all this other stuff. Tennessee got a break, if you think about it, because, again, when Florida came into town back in January, it was not this team. You know, the one time Tennessee played them, I mean, doesn't mean we're not better than Florida, but those are the kind of things that haven't happened in the past to Tennessee. You would usually maybe get a team like them on the heater that they're on now. It did happen a little bit with South Carolina, I guess you could say, although I think Tennessee lost that game more than South Carolina won it, if you know what I mean. I felt like they had all sorts of opportunities. But I feel like there's all these little intangible things that are happening, and I don't think I'm just searching for something. I really think that some of this is things are breaking the right way for this team, and they're playing well too. And I think we've been saying it all along, man, this team's different for sure. And then for Alabama – we were communicating on the text thread last night. Sure felt to me like, as a Tennessee fan, I'd like to say maybe Tennessee should take a little credit for the demise of Alabama, too. I just feel like they did not look like the same team out there. We know they don't play as well on the road, but they looked lifeless at times last night, which is rare for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee – I don't want to say eliminating them from the SEC championship race because they still were technically alive, but ripped destiny out of their control on Saturday night. And they did look like a team. I think if they had a chance to, you know, win out, win the SEC without worrying about what Tennessee did, I think you get a better effort last night. But I still don't think they would have won at Florida. Like, I still think that we have a lot of games to point to when it comes to sample size. That Alabama just can't stop teams with the pulse. Their defense is that bad. So would they have been had a little bit more pep in their step, Bob? Yeah. Would the game have gone any different? I can't say it would have. I think they would have tried harder. Like, maybe they don't fall down 23, but they still lose that game by 10 points, in my opinion. Or at least lose the game.
Yeah.
Because Florida's better. And Florida's good at home. And Alabama just can't play good teams. Their defense against good offenses cannot stop them. They end up outside the top 100, around the 140 range in terms of defensive efficiency. So that's just who they are. Which, it was tough to see basketball genius Nate Oates get annihilated in an elimination game as his team just clanked threes. Hey, you're getting them up, though. Good job. Shot 24% from them. Good job.
The new sneaky basketball genius might be Todd Golden.
Perhaps. You know, I can't go that far, though, Bob, because I did just see South Carolina.
Well, that's true.
Confuse your basketball genius with a 1-3-1 zone. It did feel like that a basketball genius would not let that happen to him over a 7-minute period. But I will say, he does seem like a good coach, and it does seem like Florida is going to be back to being a threat in the years coming with him. He is better than Mike White. That is for sure. Still don't know how he recruits. I haven't kept up. I don't know how he recruits. You know, that was a part of Mike White's problem, was that he couldn't necessarily take the talent he was recruiting and get better. So it was the opposite, I guess. Like, Mike White could get the talent, then just couldn't do anything with him. I feel like Todd Golden can coach talent. I just don't know if he can get it. But you're 100% right about the schedule. You know, that's, I think, as a university as a whole, when you look at your two biggest programs, your basketball team and your football team, I think you've been on the right side of good scheduling the last couple years, which is rare and unique, or at least feels like, for Tennessee. You know, during the 2010s, I felt like the football team was always on the wrong side of the schedule. Basketball team on the wrong side of the schedule a couple times during the Grant and Admiral days, it felt like. You know, only one trip to LSU in a year where LSU wins the SEC. No rematch. 18, you could argue the opposite and say that you didn't have to go to Auburn, which this year you didn't have to go to Florida or to Auburn, two of the top five or six teams. You got fortunate there. You got both of them at home. You beat both of them. You got Florida early and beat them by 20. But something that's important is being good enough to take advantage of those things. The football team didn't take advantage of the schedule this year, Bob. They took a schedule that was set up to maybe go 10-2, and they went 8-4. The basketball team was set up for a schedule to go 15-3, 14-4, and win the SEC. And right now they're exactly on that pace. And that's even with having a historically tough end of the season. They kept saying on the broadcast last night, this the first time ever a team has had to have four straight ranked opponents to end the season. I don't know if that's just in the SEC or in college basketball history. They didn't really, you know, clarify, but the early part of the schedule was really, really nice and gave you a cushion, and now you're taking advantage of it just because you're a really good basketball team. The schedule's not easy here. Fraudulent team would not go 4-0 or 3-1 during this last four-game stretch in Tennessee on pace to do that.
Very true. I still wonder, we talked a little about this yesterday. I'm still trying to track this, that we don't want this to happen, but say Tennessee wins tonight, they clinch. Say Tennessee loses Saturday to Kentucky. Kentucky moves into, and Kentucky takes care of business against Vandy tonight. I still think there's a way where Alabama doesn't make the double bye, because Kentucky's got that tiebreaker against them too. Again, don't want that to happen, although that would be an okay consolation if Alabama has to play one extra game, because I just don't see them going very deep the way they're playing right now.
not to extend our opening Wednesday argument, Bob, but I completely disagree that that's a nice consolation. I don't care about Alabama. I mean, like, is it funny? Yes, but, like, I'm not going to be sitting there after Tennessee loses to Kentucky and be like, well, at least Alabama has to play.
No.
On Thursday in the SEC tournament.
Nor
so I don't view that as a consolation at all, but it will be something we can laugh at, I guess. And maybe more so just exposing that Alabama program and Nate Oates a little bit.
Yes.
A silver lining, if you will. Is a silver lining and consolation interchangeable? Maybe they are.
Semantics.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I don't know, because I told Bob, I was like, there's no consolation. Then I said there's a silver lining. So I was like, yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe those are just interchangeable. And laughing at Alabama would be at least a small, teeny tiny but consolation, like you said.
We're going to beat Kentucky. We want that one seed in the big dance, so it's gonna not going to worry about it.
That's going to be, you know, if Tennessee takes care of business tonight, and I don't want to do the same thing. We make the same mistake we made, you know, a month ago where we just completely overlooked the South Carolina game, because that's kind of what I did, at least. You know, I didn't think that you were going to lose to South Carolina. And then you also had a, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the game you also had right before Kentucky, correct?
So that's exactly right.
It's kind of weird. The roles are completely reversed, and I don't want to look towards Kentucky and ignore South Carolina. But if you're 3-0 during these first three games and you set up a good senior day and you have a one seed in within grasp, I imagine you'll get a pretty rockin' TBA at FCC.
Yeah.
It's tough to see this Kentucky team coming in and stopping Tennessee's offense. I'd be pretty disappointed if it was a 3-1 finish in that respect. That'll be a fun game, though. That'll be a fun game. It's kind of crazy that this team lost a couple of the games that they did lose and that they're still in position to win the SEC by two games.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, they're in position to do that, right? Like, if they win tonight, they'll have a two-game lead on everybody. And then that's with a loss to, you know, at Mississippi State early in the season. That's with a home loss to South Carolina. That's with getting blown out by A&M. Three of the teams that we don't consider the best. And, you know, that goes back to your scheduling advantage of not having to play Auburn on the road and Florida on the road. I get that. But, like, for those to be your three losses and for you to win the conference by two games, that would be kind of crazy.
Felt like we were nervous about that number four conference losses, that number that Will was kind of throwing out there at the start of the year after that Mississippi State game. We were like, man, we're not going to be able to get to that number, and then we just run the table.
I didn't think we would. I thought of that too, and I think we still may not, but I'm a little surprised we're right in position to do it.
You just kind of looked, and you're trying to take it like you could basically afford one loss every five games.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way you're looking at it. And then you start adding those up. You're like, uh-oh. Well, we got our third loss here, and now we can only afford one, and then Tennessee rolls off, what, six straight now?
Mm-hmm.
They answered the bell. Especially, like, yeah, I mean, tell yourself you win six straight and get it going so well after A&M embarrassed you. Because A&M did embarrass you.
And just with what the last, like, five-game stretch of the season was going to be, you're like, man, I figured one of those losses is going to come in that stretch. You
right.
know?
And, again, Tennessee hasn't tiptoed all the way through this landmine, you know, this minefield just yet. You still got to win tonight at South Carolina. A team that punked you. Whether or not you should have won that game, that's fine. But, like, South Carolina, that game, they felt more physical, and they felt like they dictated the tempo. At the very least, they punked you out a little bit. You didn't answer the bell of physicality. You didn't answer the bell of just of coming to the moment and finding a way to win. I don't think that's going to be the case tonight. 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in, let's go to the phone lines. Let's grab Roberto. Roberto, good morning.
Hey, guys. Again, I say you have become part of my morning routine. Drive the kids to school on the way home. Call John and Bob and Sam because you guys are the best thing going right now.
Thanks, Roberto.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
As far as tonight, John, you kind of touched on it, but didn't say it directly, I guess. It's like, you're exactly – South Carolina is going to get our full attention tonight, right? Oh, yeah. Are we worried about that today?
No, no. The fact that you have a one seed on the line and an SEC championship outright tonight, no. Tennessee should play their most focused, best game tonight. If they don't, that would be a big disaster from Rick Barnes, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. Because, you know, I'm going to liken it to last night's baseball game. At the University of Tennessee, it seems like our teams play a lot better when the other teams get chirpy. Our teams carry a pretty nice chip on their shoulder, just generally speaking. And South Carolina was pretty freaking chirpy after that game. And I think that they probably made a mistake and maybe didn't realize that they'd be playing for the SEC title at their home against Tennessee in, like, whatever, four weeks at the time. What do you guys think about that? You think they would have gotten that chirpy after a game? I know it was an upset, but still.
You know, I would say South Carolina, if I was a player on South Carolina, I'm not scared of Tennessee coming in here. So, I mean, I think they would carry that same mentality. I think that kind of comes from Lamont Parrish and just the way they play and their mentality. So I'll say that they don't regret it. Now, they might regret it, you know, after 40 minutes of basketball tonight. And, you know, I do think Tennessee's going to get the last laugh. And I do think both Dalton Connect and Zakai Ziegler kind of thrive off that. So they might sow what they reap. Yeah, they might end up, you know, having to face that. But right now, I'll say they don't regret it. Ask me again after tonight.
Okay. That's fair, John. They also saw what we did to Texas A&M, who got chirpy with us too. So, I really this sounds weird because it's South Carolina and I shouldn't care, but I want to beat their brakes off. I want it to be really a bloodbath. I want it to be ugly, and I want them to hurt tomorrow. And I normally wouldn't say anything like that. Speaking of Nate Oates' beautiful mind. Boy, he got the mind, how do you say,
blown,
knocked out of him last night.
He got JFK'd.
That's a great reference. Also, murder is not funny. Assassinations are not funny, but that's a great reference. Yeah, he got JFK'd. Dude, that guy, he is starting. I wanted him so, so bad until the murder stuff. To be our next coach. Was that crazy at the time? And now I couldn't be as far from wanting that as any other coach in the conference, really.
I can't even remember a time before all the stuff with Brendan Miller because Nate Oates is so annoying to me now. He wasn't that way before, but I can't even remember those times. I can't disassociate that and think of him as a positive basketball savant.
I remember when he was at Buffalo, and you know everybody was talking about when Danny White had hired him up there, and I was watching some stuff, and I was like, man, he really knows what he's doing. And then all of a sudden, you know, you aid and abet a murderer on your team, and having an aider and abettor that you allow to play on your team, that kind of does it for me. Usually, I'm not accessories to murder. I'm not a big fan of. Lastly, guys, speaking of accessories to murder, how about Tennessee just blowing Kansas State off the field last night after they got chirpy, too?
I know. Dean Curley must have heard your call, you know, trying to give his spot away next year, trying to find the shortstop of the future. He came out and had, nine RBIs?
He did. 3 home runs, almost for the homer cycle. He was 2 feet short of the homer cycle, which has happened, never happened in the majors and happened 2 times in the minors in the history of baseball. Yeah, good for him, man. I'm so happy for him. I think we found our third baseman to replace Billy Amick for next year. I think he's going to end up at third base. He's got a more natural body lean and fielding position for that base. So I'm very happy for him, and I'm glad that he made me look like an idiot. I'm for that, by the way, especially if it means Tennessee wins. So I'll leave you with, John, maybe Bowling Green doesn't suck, or do they still suck? Because we beat them, I mean, like, we beat Kansas State much worse than we beat them.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me Bowling Green beat somebody good last night. We'll see.
No, Bowling Green actually has wins against Memphis and Middle Tennessee State, traditional baseball, good baseball
school. We'll keep up with their record throughout the year, Roberto. Appreciate the phone call.
Let's do it.
I'm staying on record of two things. Bowling Green baseball sucks, and I disagree. I think assassinations are funny.
Man.
You know, maybe not at the time, but history shows them to be pretty funny.
Oh, God. Guys, I love you. I hope you have a great day. I mean,
jumps off the balcony. That's pretty cool.
Hey, Roberto, when you hang up, listen on. I have one more point to make, and it's tied to Nate Oates. And I don't know if any of you have heard this, too, but you know Nate Oates' roots before he got the Buffalo assistant job and then succeeded Bobby Hurley was he was a high school coach in Michigan, right? He's got Michigan ties. There's a lot of chatter that he would pine for a job like the Michigan job, which is going to come open, right? I mean, Juwan Howard's done. And it just does make me wonder, given what he's watching happen with the Alabama team, and maybe, just maybe, some teams have figured out that beautiful mind and how to beat him in the SEC. So I just wonder if this might be a, I don't want to call it a cut and run. He still has some good capital as a coaching prospect, but I just wonder if he would go pursue that type of job. He was the one that put his name, he volunteered his name in the hat, right, for the North Carolina job. Have you heard that story back when they were hiring Hubert Davis? He went to them. They didn't go to him.
He, like, went personally or just had an agent
reach
out?
Well, probably had an agent reach out, but his team reached out.
Yeah.
So
he wanted that North Carolina job. Well, I was going to say, like, when you look at Michigan and, hell, you look at Louisville and possibly Indiana, I mean, those are three – you know, pretty big schools, right? Like Michigan, Indiana, Ohio State. Those are three pretty big jobs in Big Ten country. So him wanting North Carolina kind of gives you an idea that he wants a bigger job. Now, North Carolina, you could say, is the biggest job in college basketball, if not, you know, top three or four without a doubt. But you could also make the case that Louisville is too, and that Indiana is too. And Michigan, top 10, top 12, somewhere around there, maybe. Like, so, I mean, if you're Nate Oates and if you're Bruce Pearl, one of those jobs is going to be really appealing.
I would think so.
There's a lot of buzz now for Louisville, or excuse me, for Indiana. That's the latest rumor. Indiana
being
in the and the Bruce Pearl wanting to make him one of the highest paid coaches in the country.
They've got to they've got to do something this time around and get it right, or they'll be irrelevant, maybe perpetually at that point.
Yeah,
they're on the edge.
All right, let's go to break, Sam. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. Championship Wednesday. What did you think, Bob? You think South Carolina regrets chirping Tennessee? Because that game did get a little testy down the stretch.
I don't know. They're pretty tough-minded. I doubt that's...
I think South Carolina's players are coming into the game
confident.
And they're going to be kind of embracing the moment. They have that reckless abandon that comes with being picked to finish last.
Yeah.
Like the chip on their shoulder is a boulder, if you will. Like they aren't going to be intimidated by Tennessee. Does that mean they're going to win? I don't think so.
Man, you sounded like Don King there. Is that an actual like kind of term?
I think I've heard someone say a boulder before, but I don't know. I don't know. I'll take the credit.
I like it. Now Tennessee can relate.
Give me a big tall hair.
Tennessee can relate, maybe not the players on that team, but Barnes, of course, can, because remember they were preseason ranked that one season. Was it last or next to last where they had a piece of the conference title?
I want to say they were picked to finish last that year as well, but maybe 13th.
So we've been there. The one thing that has, in my opinion, changed a little with South Carolina since Tennessee last played them, I've mentioned this guy before, is Colin Murray Boyles, because he's always been a good prospect. He's a true freshman. And he played okay against Tennessee, but he has absolutely trended up since then. Since that Tennessee game, he's averaging 16 points, 8 boards. Just got to make sure, because that adds another dimension besides Michi Johnson and that, was it B.J. Mack, the guy that big guy that was shooting threes all the time.
And yeah, that guy's annoying.
He is.
That guy's annoying.
The other guy that's sneaky good on that team's Talon Cooper, I think is his name. He hit a bunch of threes against Tennessee, too. They all hit threes in that game. They shot more threes than twos. That was such a strange game.
I still don't think South Carolina is good.
I think they're playing over their head. I don't think they're bad, but I would agree that they're overperforming right now.
Yeah, definitely overperforming. Like, I think that's a team that goes home early in March. I don't want to throw the word around lucky, but they are lucky. If you believe in luck and actually like measuring it, KenPom has them ranked as the third luckiest team so far this year in terms of how what their record shows versus what their performances reflect, and just getting some breaks of teams missing open shots and you know, just the Tennessee game in general, how many open shots Tennessee missed. They seem to be kind of lucky. Now, I'm not taking away from their season, because anytime you're picked to finish last and you finish in the top half of the league, that's a success. Now, getting a double bye and making the NCAA tournament, like, that's a huge success for South Carolina. I don't want to downplay that. But I do think Tennessee is in a different class of basketball team. And I hope that Tennessee, who has shown they're not afraid to go on the road, they've performed well on the road at places. And I know they lost to Texas A&M. I know they lost to Mississippi State. I get that. But they won at Kentucky. They won at Alabama. They won at Wisconsin. They won at Michigan State. Going to South Carolina shouldn't be some tall task.
I think Lamont Paris, stating the obvious a little here, I think he's a very good coach. He's another one. We were talking in the last segment about coaches who might move on if the right opportunity presents itself. Paris is an Ohio kid, and his name's been mentioned for a few jobs too. And it makes you wonder, because way back when we had Chris Dorch on, he made the comment that he believes South Carolina is maybe one of the two or three worst jobs in the SEC. So it does make you wonder if this is as good as it gets for South Carolina. And, you know, if you're the head coach there, you got to be thinking about that too. Because I know they've made a Final Four and Tennessee hasn't, but I still don't think about them at all when you think about, you know, strong basketball programs.
No, they've had a couple of annoying seasons. I'm glad you remembered something that Chris Dorch said. I'm glad you remembered something.
I remember it all, man.
That's good.
I do. It was a good conversation.
I've drinking some White Claw hard seltzer since then. Killed off some brain cells responsibly. Going to enjoy some tonight. Toast to an SEC championship. Tennessee is playing for something bigger than the SEC championship. I fully believe that. I think the mission at hand is much greater than just winning tonight. But I do think that in this season's mission, winning tonight is a big deal. It's a nice accomplishment. It's a nice next step. The revenge factor in Tennessee coming in and having a mission to go in there and kind of right or wrong. We saw them do that against A&M. They passed that test with flying colors. It was at home. This one's on the road. This one has higher stakes. But I still fully anticipate them being able to do that. And Zakai and Dalton aren't guys that take people, trash talking them lightly. We saw that early on against Georgia when Dalton Connect kind of went off and took over that game. We didn't even talk about that, man. Like, yeah, we talked about the loss to Mississippi State, but we're also down like 10 to Georgia with like 6 minutes left. Now, tell yourself in that moment that this team is where they're at now. It'd almost be tough to believe. They could taint it a little bit with a loss tonight, or they could go ahead and solidify themselves as one of the all-time great Tennessee teams. I don't know how many outright SEC championships we have, but I know we ain't had one in 16 years. We'll continue the conversation in hour two. Stats by Will joining us at 8:30. Grant Williams at 9:20. We'll tell you about some other things you might have missed yesterday in a segment we call About Last Night. Sam's got you. He'll catch up to speed. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.